The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
The congregation feels closest to its Lord during worship. There, in the closest proximity to the bridegroom, it lives heavenly life on earth and earthly life in heaven. Worship is the most beautiful blossom of all temporal life. In the inner life and in the worship services of the congregation stand word and sacrament like a rock in the sea. As the sea flows around the rock, so the sacred forms of the liturgy move about the center of word and sacrament. As the sea breaks on the rock, as its waves and roaring are dependent on the rock, so the liturgical life also is not arbitrary. Rather, its waves concentrically circle around the innermost circle of the spiritual life, which surrounds the core of word and sacrament. Word and sacrament determine the order of salvation, and the order of salvation determines the order of the worship service. As spiritual life is unthinkable without the order of salvation, so is a worship service without order, without a scriptural progress of salutary thoughts. This is especially true of the congregation's main services for Sundays and festivals. There is something of regular shape and diversity about them, depending on whether they take place in this or that festal cycle of the church year. For the cycle of the church year gives to all and every main service its particular character. Yet there is also something permanent in all the main services, something that always returns, and this is just the progress of holy thoughts by which all inner life is carried in the change of time. I would like to compare the liturgy's progress of thought to a double-peaked mountain, whose one peak, as in the case of Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, is lower than the other. The first peak is the sermon, the second, the sacrament of the altar, without which I cannot imagine a consummate worship service on earth. One is always rising in the main service until one reaches the table of the Lord, above which there is nothing except heaven.
Thank you.
A week lies behind you, a new one lies ahead of you. Between both lies the day of communion, Sunday. You wish to approach the Lord with the congregation. What is it that you, whether you are shepherd or sheep, will have to do first? You do what all religions symbolize in their washings, that is, you wash your feet that have become dusty from daily life. In other words, you prepare for worship by confession of sins and holy absolution. Your first devotion is thus the confiteor, which cannot have a more beautiful form than that in which priest and congregation comfort each other.